for us. But last week on Sunday morning, I was standing before a congregation of like-minded believers such as us that believe in the same Lord, believe in the same Jesus. Couldn't understand their language very well. They told me little bits and pieces. You would think that you would just feel completely separated from their society when you really can't understand all their language. But I can tell you, we found just the most wonderful unity with the folks there. I want to talk to you just a little bit today, just kind of in a general sense about what we experienced in Thailand a little bit, because this isn't my first trip to the other side of the world. This makes a couple times that I've been in different places of the world. And I want to reflect whenever I get home on the big picture first. I want to look at the big picture, because a lot of times we can get focused on little things and miss the bigger picture. But something that I've noticed in the bigger picture in all of my experiences is people are generally kind of, there's some similarities to the way that we live, the way that we deal with things. There's some differences in their society. We'll talk about it a little bit more whenever we show some pictures next week and let you meet some of the people. But some of the differences that we have whenever we experienced, their bathrooms are much different than ours. Just some of these different things about life. You get over there and you notice all the people are kind of just living and they're just trying to figure things out. They're trying to make a living for their families. They love their children. These are some universal things no matter where we go. Their food's different. That scares a lot of people whenever we go to different places, because we kind of like, that's one of those areas that, boy, we like it to be just like we like it. But I enjoyed the differences in some of the different areas. I found out that even though in some ways their lifestyle and their customs are very different, if this was Thailand, I wouldn't have shoes on right now. I would be up here barefooted. And I think actually is a really good custom, because whenever you think about it, what did God tell Moses? Take shoes off because you're standing on holy ground, right? And they even do that in each other's homes too, because they want to show respect whenever they come in, so they come in barefoot and leave the shoes at the door. Another thing that they didn't have, I'm just talking about some differences right now. They didn't have much furniture. Not much furniture. So I can tell you, I think the last time I sat cross-legged, I was 8 years old. So 8 or 9, somewhere in there. So like my legs have not been stretched like that for a really long time. So the first couple times I tried sitting cross-legged, Indian style, they had like bamboo mats or something similar to that. And so you'd come in but I can tell you a way that wound up being like really an important blessing. Whenever they decided to invite people over to their house, they had enough room for as many as pretty much that wanted to come in. A lot of times we're limited by how much furniture we have. Like, if we invite people over for a prayer service at our house and we've got maybe places for 7 to 10 people to sit comfortably and 12 show up, we're worried about it. But I can tell you, in their homes, it wasn't a problem. They just put out more mats. In fact, we had one prayer service that was so big in the home that people were sitting outside doors. I can tell you, that blessed my heart. That prayer service was supposed to start at 6 a.m. It wound up starting at 6:30, and the reason why it was delayed was because they were going to surprise everyone with the breakfast. They invited the entire town, folks. Isn't that an amazing thought? The entire town on a Sunday morning, and I'm going to say half the town showed up to those people's house for the prayer service and the celebration first. It was a prayer and thanksgiving service. It was really a beautiful blessing. It was just unusual. And from there, we had a ladies' service in the church and then our main service in the church. And I can tell you, in a community, this is a tribal village up in the mountains, something that I noticed just kind of might sound like I might be rambling a little bit, but I'm experiencing it, and I want you to experience it with me. Something I noticed, a lot of simple huts, okay? And you know, you've heard of bamboo huts. They actually have them there. They do. It's incredible. You know, they also had some concrete block dwellings and things of that nature, a little more modern type structures, but very simple, all of them. But the bamboo huts were kind of interesting. They actually take a piece of bamboo and they split it, big piece of bamboo, and they split it, and they eventually get it all flattened out, and they make it like boards. And the floorboards and everything are made out of that. And so it's really interesting, the difference of the structures. The houses were very simple, okay? But the church was amazing. I think it said something about the priorities in their life. I like that. It reminded me of you know, reading in the Bible, like in Malachi and different areas where it talks about giving your best to God. It really blessed my heart for the church to be the nicest structure in the entire town. And you know, Haggai talks about, why should you be living in paneled houses while my house is a wreck? You know? And so here's what I found. You know, I saw some differences and stuff. Like I was saying, I alluded to the bathroom situation. I got to explain a little bit of that. Okay, it's very interesting. It's like their bathroom floor, if you can just imagine it, it's very open. And we're not going to get into what the commode looks like, because it's a little different. But there's a big drain in the bathroom floor, and it's all tile. And they got a barrel. And the barrel has fresh water in it. I mean, as fresh as you're going to get. It's not really what you'd want to drink out of, but it's fresh water. It's good for cleaning. It's good for washing. And it's got a ladle in it. It's a pretty good size ladle with a handle on it. And that's good for everything you're going to need to do in that bathroom. It works out pretty good because it winds up being your toilet flusher. It winds up being your shower. It winds up being the whole deal, and you can take care of all of it right there on that floor. Before you come out, you're ready to go to work. And you've also cleaned the floor at the same time. Yeah, I mean, it really is a really simple idea. And while I was in there, at first I was thinking, man, this just seems, you know, kind of a little primitive. But man, by the end of the week, I'm thinking, they got something going on here. Because I spent a lot less time worried about, you know, having to clean up all these details and everything. And I came out of there clean and fresh and ready to go. And you know, it just made sense. It was really incredible how they keep their lives pretty streamlined. They don't have a lot of stuff that they don't need, you know. And they're keeping it simple. But here's the big, so those were the differences. Here's the big similarity. No matter where I've been in the world, I found out some stuff. There's only one way to heaven. And it don't matter what part of the world you're in. There's only one Word of God. It's the Bible. And no matter where you're at in the world, if you're a Christian, y'all got the same calling. We've all got the same message. We all have the same God. We all have the same Holy Spirit for every believer in the world. Now, one of the bigger differences that I've seen societal-wise, our country definitely was founded on Christian principles, and you can tell it. The country that we were in Thailand, was 98% Buddhist. Guys, that's real close to 100%. 98%, okay? So out of the 2% that wasn't, only about half of those claim to be Christians. So I want you to get an idea of what we're talking about here. We're talking about basically an unreached people. And yet, there is this church, the seed of this church, in some of these villages, and even in smaller factions in the city, the seed that is faithful. And I'm going to tell you, they're committed. You know, I try to boil it down in my simple way. I like to boil everything down to one word if I can, and then I go out from there. Okay? I boil it down in one word to what I think is absolutely necessary to have a thriving church. Okay? And we know that, first of all, God, right? So God is he's the core of the church. But as far as qualities of a quality that we must have you have a thriving church, I'm gonna say what it is. It's faithfulness. Faithfulness. If you wanna ask for a quality in you that can be one that helps the church grow, that helps the kingdom of God grow, because really that's what we need to be about, right? That's what the church is about in Thailand. That's what the church is about in Sri Lanka. That's what the true church is about in Mexico. And that's what the true church needs to be about here in the United States. We've gotten, you know, since we were founded on a Christian foundation, I'm afraid sometimes we in the United States might take Christianity a little bit for granted. It's just always going to be like this. We use words like common sense and common goodness. I'm going to tell you, folks, the only real goodness comes from God. And unless we continue to promote that, we're going to continue to slip away. You know, at one time in the United States, because of our founding, probably 70% of the people in my lifetime, years ago, 70% of the people in the United States would claim to be Christians. Now, the last I heard, 45%. And those are just the ones that are claiming. And we all know not everybody who claims to be a Christian is really a Christian, because they got a lot of different definitions of what a Christian is. I can tell you, a Christian's not just a good person. A Christian's not just somebody who was born in America and had parents that might have went to church. That's not a Christian. A Christian is a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ that's trying to be more like Christ every day. And you see, whenever we get that, it's a little Christ. It's one who's like Christ. It's one who is born again and has the Holy Spirit living in him. And whenever we get to a place like Sri Lanka or a place like Thailand, and we experience a born-again believer in that kind of environment, I can tell you have an instant connection. We may have a little bit of a language, you know, issue that we can't understand everything between each other. Some of it's even a little bit cultural. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit that lives in them and the Holy Spirit that lives in me causes a connection that's there that just, it can't be broken. It's the most awesome thing. And it just stokes my furnace. And I wish that we could have all been there together. But since we couldn't, I plan on bringing some of it back to you. Because I'm going to tell you, we found a church family in Thailand. Yeah, you can clap. Come on, let's clap, because we found a faithful church family in Thailand. We found a little mountain village that they took us to of the Karen tribe. It's a little bit hard. It looks like Karen to me. So I have a hard time pronouncing it any other way. But the thing of it is, guys, these folks have been battered. They have been bruised. They have been chased out of another Buddhist country that called Myanmar now, but it used to be Burma. Okay, their government there wound up hating this tribe of people, and some of the soldiers and other people tried to exterminate them. And because of that, they came across the border through the mountains into Thailand, and they have little mountain villages all over the place. And of course, they've gone on to, many of their children have gone into the city and gotten educated and things of that nature. You know, they're a growing community, but there are still these little isolated villages where there are no roads going into them. And in this particular village now has a road going into it, but they have this seed of faith in that village that's just amazing. I'll get a little bit more into the village next week whenever I show some pictures of it. But the one thing I really want to focus on today was there was a man in that village. And he's the pastor of this church that I'm talking about. He has been the pastor of that church for 40 years. That's a long time to be a pastor of one church. Okay? He helped to found Christianity in this village. Really. And he told me about a little bit about his testimony through his son who I ministered with, which, by the way, is a lot like JD. I love this guy. I really did. He actually drove a dump truck too. Isn't that incredible? The similarities. He helped lead the music, and he knew everybody there was to know in Thailand. I'm just going to tell you, if there was a person around there that would talk to somebody, this guy talked to him. But his name was Pong, and he was the most beautiful man I think I've experienced without being able to talk to personally very well. It was really amazing, the connection that we had. Because you know why? He loved Jesus, and so did I. That's why me and JD get along so well, too. Because he loves Jesus, and so do I. That's why we love each other, because we love Jesus, right? And he loves Jesus, Pong does. And I'm going to tell you, his daddy, Pastor Casey, he just gave me a little bit of his testimony. And I thought it was really interesting. So I'm just going to share this little bit of it with you, and then I'm going to get into a sermon. Pastor Casey, I'm going to tell you why he was so committed to Jesus Christ. And he even admitted that without this event in his life, he probably wouldn't be. There was a time in their village, okay, now I told you, they escaped Burma because they were trying to be, I mean, they were trying to exterminate them there. They found places to hide in the mountains, and then sometime about 40 years ago or so, the Chinese army, for whatever reason, kind of infiltrated into this area. And they didn't even seem to be quite sure why the Chinese military was there, but they came in and they basically just started taking what they wanted. They just sort of took over their little mountain village. They lived where they wanted. They forced themselves into people's houses. They took what they wanted, and you can just imagine the rest. It probably wasn't a very pretty sight. But Pastor Casey was not pastor yet at this point, but he somehow or another must have resisted one of the soldiers. There was some kind of situation. Shelley might know more of the story than me, because she talked to other people, and of course you hear the same story from different points of view. But I was getting it through the translation of Pong, and me and Pong, we still had a lot of barrier there, you know, but we did pretty good with it. But anyways, his dad got shot by this soldier. The soldier tried to kill him, and he apparently didn't cooperate in every way that the soldier wanted him to, and he shot him through the ribs here, and it came out his arm on the other side, like right about here. So you kind of get an idea that, like, there's a whole lot of stuff that it could have hit on the way through that should have killed him, right? Either should have killed him, or should have paralyzed him, or should have done something, but it didn't, and I'll tell you why, because God had a plan for his life, and he knew it. And he said, simple man, lived in a bamboo hut, literally. But this is what he said to me through his son. A few words, showed me the bullet hole, pulled up his shirt, showed it to me. Said that they actually, had to get him out of there in an emergency and take him somewhere else to be able to save his life. But he knew it was God who saved his life. And he said, I probably wouldn't be following God today like I am if it hadn't been for that moment. He said, I knew God saved my life, and I devoted my life to Christ to follow him no matter what. And so that's why he's been the pastor of the same church for 40 years. And I'm going to tell you something. It's also, he had a big deliverance by God, so he knew God is real, and so he knew that he could completely trust God and give him everything. And because of that, almost the entire village knows God today. His entire family is following Jesus today. In fact, this is John. You've met John Loudermilk, some of you. He came and preached here. He was the missionary that we met with that's trying to take care of the orphan girls. His wife, Gay, that's her dad. And so what I'm going to tell you is they've got like seven kids. Is that right? Seven or eight? It was a little bit hard because Numbers was another one. It was really hard to translate from their language to ours. We struggled a little bit on that. That's just like Pastor Casey. He was somewhere between 70 and 79. I never could get a direct number on it. But he was over 70, and he was just under 80. That's all I know. It was somewhere in the 70s. But a man completely devoted to God, being faithful. And I'm just going to say, if you will be faithful, God will use you. If you will be faithful, God will use you to build his kingdom. And don't matter if you're in the United States or if you're in Thailand or wherever you are in the world, because God's call is the same for all of us. Now we're going to talk about some similarities here. What we saw there just really impacted me. I was on my plane trip home. I had 12 hours coming across the ocean, sitting in a plane, 24 hours the entire trip coming home. And I was just praying the whole time, God, show me what I need to see out of this. And this is what he gave me, so I'm going to give it to you today. You shall be my witnesses. You know, we went over there wanting to be a witness for Christ. We went over there to impact others, and I'm going to tell you, I was profoundly impacted. I will be forever changed by the trip that we had. We went on a mission. I can tell you there's nothing easy about traveling that far. There's nothing easy about taking six of your children and your wife and trying to bond with two other people from another family and having, how many checked luggage bags do we have on the way over there? 12? And every one of them were maxed out at almost 50 pounds. We had so much stuff. You know, most of it we were taking to give away. But we had so much stuff on the way over there. And, you know, it was difficult. It was difficult. It was a little scary. It really was. You know? On the way back, we get to the airport, and we're getting ready to go. And I'm going to, where's Isaiah? Raise your hand, Isaiah. Isaiah, stop my heart. On the way back, I'm just going to tell you about what kind of struggles. He goes, where's my passport? He said, Mom, I know I gave you my passport. Well, Mom didn't have his passport. We thought we were going to have to leave one of ours behind, but nonetheless, he found his passport, by the way. That's why he's sitting here today. Just wanted to share with you a little bit of what kind of stress, you know? There's some stress that goes along with it, but every moment of it was worth it. I think I can speak for all of us. I'm going to let them speak a little bit next week. Every one of us was changed forever by our trip. It's because God led us to do it, and God had a command in this, and he said that he wanted us to be his witnesses. But I'm going to tell you what I found over there was a whole lot of people that were committed to being his witnesses in a country where almost their entire nation isn't Christian. But they love the people, and they want to see them come to know the Lord. You see, what we saw over there was the contemporary acts of the Holy Spirit through his church. So what have I been preaching through? The acts of the early church, the acts of the power of God. And man, I was just reminded, we are seeing it being lived out right here. Right here. We see it lived out right there in Thailand. We see it being lived out even through our own lives right here in the United States. There's those similarities, and I just want us to know that, guys, it's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion that we be his witnesses. It's a command. It really is. And you see, what I found with the church in Thailand, they were pretty simple about the way they read the Bible, and whenever God said it, they really just took it for granted they should do it. And I think that we need to be like that. It was a great example to me. I mean, like, really having a desire to just do it. And here's the deal. It's a command for everyone who believes. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is your command. In fact, we should all know the Scripture pretty well because I repeat it a lot from the pulpit. So if you want to read along with me, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Guys, it's a command. We don't see that as a suggestion. We don't see where Jesus is just telling his church, you know, maybe you might want to do this. The word go is very definite. Very definite. And it's ongoing. It's like everywhere we go, we need to be going for Christ. The therefore is there reminding us it's because of his power. Because he just got through telling us in the statement before that, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. You know, no matter where you step your foot as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have authority to be there through Christ. Don't ever think that I don't have authority to speak here. If Christ is your Lord and the Holy Spirit lives in you, Jesus has the authority and he's given it to you. He's given it to you to be his witness, to be a disciple maker. It's all about making disciples. And not just of one place, but all nations. And for us to be involved in it is such a blessing. But it's a command. You see, it doesn't matter. None of us get an out on this thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your skin color is or where you live. It doesn't matter your social or economic status is. It doesn't matter your IQ or education level is either. Doesn't matter. God's called you. Some people would say, if I knew what God was calling me to do, I'd do it. And I'm just going to stand up here and tell you boldly today, God's calling you to be a disciple maker. He's calling you to be a disciple. And once you're being discipled, that you be discipling others as well. You see, God's calling is on your life, and you don't have to know it all. He will put you in touch with other people who need to know what you know. And so you just need to share what you know. It doesn't matter what your age is either, or your physical condition is. God can use you. In fact, God commands you to be making disciples. Who's the ones that you're discipling right now? Who are the ones that you're really trying to build into their lives? And to be a discipler, you need to be discipled. So your faithfulness in showing up to be discipled is huge in this matter. It's huge. It's imperative. It isn't really just this optional thing as oftentimes we take a look at it. God wants you. He commands you. He has got a plan for you to disciple others. When we went to Sri Lanka, I found people discipling others, and they wanted to be taught how to disciple others better. When we went to Mexico, we found people who were being discipled so that they could disciple others, and they wanted to disciple them better. Whenever we went to Thailand, guess what we found? People who were disciples, who were wanting to be discipled better so that they could disciple others. Guys, when we come home, that's what we need to be about too. You see, we're always on mission if we're living for Christ. Question is, whose kingdom are we trying to build? If I'm trying to build my kingdom, then it'll be all about what I want and everything being just like I want it to be. But if I'm trying to build God's kingdom, it needs to be about the way He wants it and what He wants it to be. And if I get that and I'm in agreement with Him, then all those little things in life don't stub my toes so bad. Did you know, did I tell you guys, we showed up at 2:30 yesterday morning to our house without our luggage? It's okay. It's just stuff. It's all right. I just got a text. Whenever I was up here with the kids, I noticed I was showing off my cell phone. Your luggage has been delivered. See, God's got it. I don't have to worry about it. All I need to worry about is obeying Him. And He'll take care of the rest. Now, was it a little inconvenient? You might notice I got a little extra stubble today because my razor was in my luggage. It's okay. Bigger problems in the world than that. It's all right. All I really need to be worried about, all you need to be worried about, all you need to be concerned about is building God's kingdom. And His kingdom is made up of the people who are discipled, who come to Christ and are discipled. That's what He wants us doing. You know what? Doesn't matter who you are, but rather whose you are. I know that's not proper grammar, but I don't care. Because I'm going to tell you something. Who do you belong to? That's what you need to worry about. If you belong to Jesus, then you got everything you need. And you also know what your calling is. He says in John 15:16-17, "You did not choose me." Now some people try to say this is only to those first disciples. No, I don't think so, folks. That's trying to cop out. I think this is to you and me too. If He chose them, then that means He chose us too. And that don't mean to me that He hadn't chosen these other people. It means to me He has, and He wants me to take the message to them. See, that's how I view this thing. You did not choose me, He's saying. We didn't just like one day wake up and go, man, you know, I just know I need Jesus. No, somebody told us about Him. Yeah, or you picked up this Bible one day because somebody told you to and you read about Him. Okay? And that's because He was drawing you. So He chose us, and He says, "But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, okay, that you love one another. You know, there's no greater love than what God showed us, and there's no greater love in man, from one man to another, than whenever we share the love of Christ. Man, I'm just going to tell you, that's where the connection is, no matter where you go. And that's what our calling is. And that's what we've been appointed to do. And that means that if we're His, we got everything we need to do it. That's all we really need to be concerned about. So, who shall be His witnesses? Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 say that in this time of the early church spawning, we learn a lot from it, and we learn a lot about who is going to be His witnesses. Who are going to be His witnesses, rather. It says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Guys, those who are baptized with the Holy Spirit are His witnesses. We continue to read on here in these next verses. You're going to see what it's saying. And Jesus is the one with all the authority, and you receive it when you receive the Holy Spirit. So because of that, let's build His kingdom. Look at this next verse here. Therefore, okay, you got to read the part before so you know what the therefore is there for. So since they needed to wait for this promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, "Lord," this just shows they didn't get it yet, okay? Sometimes we don't get it. It's okay. God's patient with us as long as we are committed to getting the idea, okay? So at this point, they say, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're missing the point, folks. They're thinking about right now. They're thinking about what they want. They're thinking about them. Jesus is thinking further out than that. Let's read the next verse then. Jesus says, "Stop trying to be God and just serve God." You see, He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority." Stop trying to be God and just get ready to serve God. You know, a lot of times we get in the business that really ain't our business. We try to figure out who should be saved or who shouldn't be saved or where. You know, guys, here's the deal. You just obey God and you're going to, that's where you need to be. Okay? Just obey God. He'll take care of the rest. We obey God and He takes care of the rest. Let's continue to read on. The word "shall" is going to be very important in this next verse. Okay? Shall. I got an exclamation point because I really want us to hear this. Shall. Okay? Because it all has to do with whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon us, guys. We shall. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria," and get this one, "and to the end of the earth." So guys, you know who's His witnesses? Everybody that has the Holy Spirit in them. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've had that born-again experience, then you know what I'm talking about. You can actually witness back to me right now on that because you know what I'm talking about. And I can tell you, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that He's talking about here, because we see it actually happen right after this in the rest of the story in Acts chapter 2, whenever it actually happened. And all of a sudden, people from other parts of the world could understand what they were saying. What an amazing thing that was happening. You know, I think God still gives that gift. Because, you know, we've been in this country where we couldn't understand anybody, and praise God for the ways that God helped us to understand each other. At times I was wishing He'd just miraculously restore us and take away the curse of the Tower of Babel so we could really understand each other. But you know, we got by, we managed, and we had the connection. Because of this reason, we had the Holy Spirit living in us. We had the same command, we had the same purpose, and the "shall" was upon us. We shall And we have received that power. And we shall be His witnesses. And I can tell you, that's exactly what they wanted to do too. So we were on the same wavelength. Are we on the same wavelength today? Because if we are, we're going to share that exact same connection as we move forward. Yes, God's sovereign, but I'm going to tell you something. God's sovereign in choosing you to take the message. God's sovereign in choosing you to be His witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? Well, there's some things we do know. We're going to go over the ones we do know. It's really good to just, you know, pick the low-hanging fruit first. You know, the stuff that's easy to get to. That's what we're going to do here. Some things we know. We know that the universal church still has the same command. Do I get an amen? God's command didn't change. Jesus didn't ever come back between now and then and say, well, you remember that deal I told you about making the disciples? You don't have to do that no more. No, He said, you keep doing it till I come back. And I think we better keep doing it, right? Okay, so the universal church still has the same command. By the way, universal, I'm saying, I don't care where you're at in the world. If you belong to Jesus, this is your command. Okay? I don't care what denomination you are. It don't matter. Which, by the way, most of the churches that we dealt with were Baptist churches. But the gentleman that we were with was a church of God, and they didn't care. Because we're all serving the same God here. We all got the same Holy Spirit living in us, and it's the same Jesus that saves everybody who believes, right? Okay. So the universal church still has the same command, number one. Number two, the church still has the same authority. Do I get an amen to that? Jesus is the authority. You know? Like, if Thomas pulled me over because he said, Brother John, you're driving too fast. I respect Thomas, and I'd say, well, I appreciate you telling me about that. But then, you know, if I continued on down the road and Thomas tried to pull me over again, I wouldn't really have to pull over. But you see, if the dude with the red lights on top of his car and the badge on his chest gets behind me, I gotta pull over. Do I get an amen to that? Because He's got the authority. You see, guys, if you just go out and try to save everybody in your own strength because you know what's best for them, you ain't got the authority. But if you go in the name of Jesus Christ for His sake and for His glory, you got the authority to go anywhere with that message. The church still has the same authority. That authority is Jesus Christ. And we better never forget it. We better always draw on it. That's why prayer is so huge in this thing. That's why it pleased me so much that I know there were well over 100 people showed up to this prayer meeting. At 6 a.m., well, they made it a little later because it took longer to get the feast ready. We didn't even know there was going to be a feast. I'm going to tell you, this whole village is so in tune with the work of the church that literally they put out the word of what they're going to do, and they use a gong. They actually literally use a gong. The gong used to be used as a time to pray to the spirits. But since the whole community is now in tune with the Holy Spirit, they use the gong to signal when it's time to go to the place that's already been appointed. So if it's church time, they hit the gong. Everybody knows it's time to go to church. They don't always stay on schedule either. But it's okay. We get there. And whenever we got there and the people kept showing up and kept showing up and kept showing up and kept showing up and kept showing up, pretty soon they're stringing out the doors. They called on one man to give a message and they did a little bit of music. I'm talking, this is 6:30 in the morning, folks. And then they called on some dude to pray. He prayed for at least 10 or 15 minutes. And then they called on another dude to pray. He prayed for 10 or 15 minutes. Before you knew it, we had spent over half an hour literally in prayer as a group. Praise God. Amen, sister. Because I'm going to tell you, they cared more about what God thought and what God wanted, and they were asking Him and thanking Him first. That's why God's blessing that church to grow. When we showed up in the church building, I don't think I'm exaggerating. I'll try to count the people in the picture. There had to be 250 people or more in that church. And they're reaching out. I've been invited to come back and hike into some of the villages. 2 days just to hike into the villages. Places where no other people have been in there to witness. They want to reach out. They want to win their neighbors. Why? Because they still have the same authority. Still have the same authority. And the church still has the same power. You see, if we're praying and we are submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ, then we have His power. We do, guys. God is not without power these days. Some people would preach in the book of Acts that this was only for a certain time that God had this power. God has the same power today. I want you to know He has the power to heal as a sign. He has the power to save. You know what's harder than to heal a person's body? To save their soul. If God can still save their soul, God can still heal their body to show them that He can save their soul. You see, God still has the power. And He wants you to exercise the power. But it takes faith. You remember that word faithfulness I was talking about? If we're just faithful, guys, God will do it. He wants us to be faithful on our part, and He wants to use you to do mighty things in His name for His glory because He still has the same power. And you see, Jesus is still the answer. Amen? The only answer. Now, many of y'all can remember back to when this trip spawned. It was because of a lady who came to visit us. Y'all, many of you know her, Brooke. They come and visit us on snowy days because they know we'll be open. I say amen to that. If it snows and you can get here, I think the church should be open for you. If you can't, we understand that too. We're cool with either way. You know, we get that. But if you can, we want to be open if we can. And we happened to be open that day, and she came, and she was prepared to give a mission message to her church. And we said, well, since you can't go there, just give it here. Broke our hearts for the state of this Buddhist country. Buddhism says that if you have, you know, bad karma, this life, don't worry about it, because you're going to get reincarnated. Maybe you'll have a good life on the next one. Well, the problem with that is, it's not true, number one. It's a demonic lie. Number two, that's the excuse that people are using to sell their children into slavery. If they have bad karma here, you know, we're actually doing them a favor because the next time they're going to have good karma. That's the kind of stuff that's going on amongst the unbelieving population. Now, how much of the population is unbelieving? And again, 98% or more. Okay? 99%. Big problem. That's what caused us to want to go. But I can tell you, Jesus is the answer for that problem. And church understands that. The church is trying to take Jesus into all the communities. And Jesus is even the answer to the other side of the problem, too. The people who are doing the bad things. If they get saved, they won't do those things. You see, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to our problems in our community as well. Jesus is the answer to the sin problem. And Jesus is the answer to the problem where you're going to spend eternity. Jesus is the answer for your problems today. Jesus is always still going to be the answer. Those are the things we know for sure. And another thing we know for sure is Jesus is calling you, and He's calling me. He isn't asking for our ability, just our availability. God wants to see that we're available. And that's where that word faithfulness comes in, you see. Faithfulness means you'll be available. You'll make yourself available to God when He gives you an open door. You'll make yourself available to be taught and discipled. You see, the only way you can be taught and discipled is to be available. You can't be taught if you're not there, if you're not here. And the church building actually has teaching going on at least 3 times a week. And it's your choice of whether or not you're going to show up and be able to get the blessing from it. If you don't, then well, for one, that's your vote that the church won't continue on if you don't come. It's like putting in a vote. I can say that as a pastor, it totally broke my heart whenever I looked at the attendance for last week. I don't want you to think that I'm down on anybody or anything like that, because I know everybody's got a different situation in life. But I'm called to exhort, and I'm also called to rebuke sometimes. And I'm just going to say, I saw it, and it broke my heart. I cried last night. That church attendance said there was 18 people here for morning service last week. God forbid. Now, I know everybody had a different thing, and you might have a really good reason why you couldn't be here, and if you did, I say, praise the Lord, I'm not on you. But guys, just our family's only 8 people. And I know if one other family was on vacation to another town, I get that. That still don't account for the week before it was 68. We went from 68 to 18. That means 50 people didn't come last week. I hope you don't just come whenever I'm here. You need to come for Jesus because He's always here. You know? So again, that faithfulness, it's huge. We really need to think about that. Faithfulness means like totally committed. I'm all the way in. If we'd all be totally all the way in, you know, guys, it really matters to God. It says something to Him. So please hear me right. I say this out of love. But if something happens that your pastor is no longer here, because you know that can happen. I could drop dead today. Please tell me this church won't die. What have I invested 11 years of my life into? If it's just gonna die after I leave. And some people say, oh, that would never happen. Then start stepping up so that it don't happen. God's calling every one of us to be a part of it. Some would say that would never happen, but it did happen. There was a day when this church, right down the road, whenever it was in its other location, the pastor died and the church died with him. And that should never happen. Because the pastor, I can tell you, I don't mean nothing in this deal. Jesus means everything. He's it. So that's just a side note. He wants your availability. That's the main thing. Okay? Are you available to be used of Christ? Are you available to be taught, to be discipled? Are you going to make yourself available? I got saved at 29, guys. I knew there was a whole lot of water under the bridge, and I had a lot of catching up to do. I never read the Bible before in my life. I'm 30 years old, and I'm starting to open this thing, and I ain't much of a reader, and I'm looking, you know, I'm one of those guys that always go to the last page to see how long the book is. 1,426 pages. That's just in mine. And I went, oh my. This is going to be a lifetime accomplishment. I'm still working on it. I've read through it more than once. But I'm going to tell you what it caused me to do. Here's what it caused me to do. I said, God, I want to grow, so give me a hunger. By the end of 2 weeks, I couldn't put the book down. I was taking it to work with me, reading it on my break. I found a church that taught God's Word. I tried another one first, and it really wasn't. We left it discouraged. I eventually got in one where they were teaching God's Word, and I was there every time the doors were open. And so I literally had people ask me, what, are you afraid you're going to go to hell if you don't make it there whenever the doors are open? And I said, no, there's going to be something taught in that place today, and it's the only time it's going to get taught like that, and I don't want to miss it. And you know, because of that, of making myself available to be discipled, by the end of about 3 or 4 years, I was starting a men's Bible study in that church because I wanted more. And before you knew it, we had 15 men meeting every Monday night. Tuesdays, when we couldn't make it on Mondays, we stayed in touch. And every week, 13 to 15 men were getting together and scouring through God's Word. And I'm going to tell you, out of that group, 3 of them became pastors. Because they made themselves available. And none of them were just natural born leaders either. Are you going to make yourself available so you can grow? It really is your choice. You'll have as much of Jesus as you want to have at this point. You got to make a choice. You see, Jesus is calling me and you, and He's not asking for our ability. He's just asking for our availability. If you'll be available, God will use you. Tell you, that gentleman I talked about, I'm going to show you pictures of him next week. Love that man. His name's Pong. He don't have some great, huge education. He don't have all these qualifications. But I'm going to tell you, he's got the joy of the Lord, and it is magnetic. He's got a desire to follow God's Word. He wants to worship God, and he wants other people to know Jesus and be able to worship God too. And I'm going to tell you, dynamic, because he's available. God uses him. God will use you too. All you got to do is make yourself available. And here's the deal, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. This next slide, it's going to cost you something. It absolutely is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your life, for one thing. You got to surrender. The word witness there is martus. Okay? In the Greek, it literally is the root word for martyr. I've heard so many people say, well, you know, I don't have to be a martyr for Christ. Actually, you do have to die to yourself. You should have already done that at the point of salvation. Okay? Now, thankfully, not everybody has to literally die a martyr's death, but being a witness is being a type of martyr. It's dying to yourself so that other people can see Jesus. He wants you to do that. So, how can we know that we're really Christians if we don't do what he says? You see, guys, this is his command to us. This is not like some kind of optional deal. Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not really a witness. I think it's like a contradiction in terms. Because you die to yourself to become a Christian, and then you're a witness because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because he said, shall. Remember that word, shall? You shall be my witnesses. Right? And so he calls us, and he gives us the authority, and it's literally proof of our Christianity. Okay? You don't work your way into heaven, but what flows out of you proves where you are. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. This comes from John 15, 9 through 10. It says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Guys, keeping his command. His commands are important. His commands are important. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to tell them about Jesus. You're going to show it. You're going to live it. You're going to live for him. Here's the thing. We think about what we're going to lose so much, you know, because that word martyrs or martyr, and we think about the fact that it's going to cost you something. That's where our human brain is. But I got some really good news for you. All you're doing is giving up something you can't keep anyways to gain something you can't lose. You see, you have got eternal riches to gain here. All right? So rather than talking about what we got to lose, I'm going to tell you what you got to gain. You have got eternal riches. In fact, Jesus said, you know, don't store up your riches here on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven where nobody can take it. And here's the deal. If I'm going to go there, it'll be waiting for me when I get there. And you know what these riches look like? It's the people who come to the Lord because of my faithfulness. It's the people that he uses me to lead to him. It's the people. It's my children. It's your children. It's all of us together, being in heaven together with our brothers and sisters from Thailand and Sri Lanka and wherever that we might reach out to. You see, whenever we are faithful, listen to what happens. We are saved by faith through belief. And so in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how then shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? See, it's through the foolishness of preaching, of being a witness, that God brings people to himself. That's you and me. We're the ones with the info. And as we make ourselves available, God uses that. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Guys, you have the authority. You have the power as believers in Jesus Christ. Now he's telling us, go. Do it. And you say, well, preacher, I can't go to Thailand. I understand. You did, if you prayed for me and us while we were there. You did, if you gave gifts to send. You did, as you held down the fort here while we were gone. You did, and you will. And if you'll go across the street to your neighbor, or you'll go to your family member, or you'll just be a witness at work, or you'll just be a witness, and you won't be afraid to say, you know where this joy comes from? Live it. You know where my strength comes from? It comes from Jesus Christ. Can I pray for you? We're going to tell you about our personal encounters next week. I'm going to put some faces to some of these stories. But what I want you to know is, there's a contemporary book of Acts that's happening right now. It's happening right here, and it's happening by those who show up, who are faithful, and it's happening there by those who show up and are faithful. And it's happening on all the corners of the earth, and there's still some areas to be reached, and it'll happen through your feet if you'll just take it with you. God wants to use you. The first step of that is to make sure that you're in the kingdom. Make sure you're a believer. Make sure you've got the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure, come and give your heart to Jesus today. Just say, God, you know I'm a sinner and I don't want to live like that anymore. I want you to save me. I believe you died on the cross for me, paying for my sins, and I believe you rose again. Be my Lord. I follow you from this point on. Not me calling shots anymore, but you. If you'll do that, God says He won't tell you to go away. He will not cast you away. He will receive you. You haven't done anything so bad that He won't forgive you, folks. When He died on the cross, He said, it's finished. Sin debt was paid. Now accept it. Make yourself available. Be used of Him. Let me pray for you, dear Father. I pray for this group. And I pray that we're of one mind, one heart. Lord God, we come to you right now. We just pray that you'll use us to bring salvation to our neighbors, to our family members, to anybody around us that we encounter that don't know Jesus. Open our eyes to Him so we can see Him, so we can know. Let us be bold enough to ask, at least that we might ask to pray for them, see where they're at. Lord, that we be bold enough just to tell them for the hope that we have, Lord. My hope is in Jesus Christ. We may not have all the details. We may not be able to explain it in so many points. God, you can do all that. Main thing we need to do is be able to tell them what you did for us. What you did on that cross, that you were perfect. You didn't deserve to die. So when you did, you were paying the price for us. You bought us. And if they'll accept you and receive you, then you'll save them. We'll be with you forever. Lord, there may be people in this room today that need to receive you, and I pray if they are, you'll convict their hearts right now over their sin and help them move forward in a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that the day I gave my life to you, you claimed me. You'd already claimed me before that. I can see your work and your hand on me even before I became a believer. But I wasn't really saved until that day I surrendered my heart to you. Whenever I did that, sealed the deal. You sent your Holy Spirit to live in me. And Lord, I have the power and the authority to go anywhere in this world and proclaim Jesus Christ. Anywhere you send me. Now help me, help us, Lord, to do it together. Help us to win Washington County for Jesus. Help us to win Cadet, Missouri. Help us to win. Help us to be like that village that I explained. It took that man 40 years to see the fulfillment of a lot of it. And there's still more to be done. He'll die and be with you, and there'll still be things to be done. That's why the next generation's coming up behind him. Lord, let this church be exactly the same. Even as we join together to do VBS and different things of outreach like that, that's our big one for the year. Help us to join together the rest of the year to provide a place for those same children to come and be taught further in the Bible. Help us to do our part. Help each one of us to be faithful, to be being taught. That's why we have multiple services in a week. Different things being taught in every one of them. We're not going to get it unless we show up. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to move forward, that we would spend ample time, Lord, much time in prayer together, asking your will, seeking your direction for this church. But we know one thing for sure. We have the authority. We have the power. We have everything we need to do what you've called us to do. Make disciples of all nations. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.